right, guys, welcome back to the 70th episode, Reese. We've now entered your first end of your first lifetime of the 443 podcast. I am Matt, coming to you from New Year's Day with my boy Reese. I'm in North Phoenix, he's in West Phoenix. Let's go. Four games. Here we go, baby.
Yes, guys. Shorter episode most likely today, but we are going to come back with the full slate of weekend games now that they should be back to normal going forward here. Let's jump into it. First game on the Monday slate, we have huge upset, Matt. We have Ipswich winning their first home league game in the Premier League in the last since I think it was 20 years since they've last won at home in the
20,
Premier League.
2002.
That's crazy. 2-0 to Chelsea, Matt. What were your thoughts on this game?
I didn't get to watch this game because you were watching it. I was watching Newcastle get and Manchester United. Bro, I don't know, man. My mom didn't even know this game was going on. She's an Ipswich fan. I texted her and she's like, "Oh, I'm getting my hair cut. That's great."
You just missed their biggest win.
I know. And she's like, I rewatched it on the thing. Now I knew they were winning. It was just less fun.
Yeah, man. I mean,
My thoughts on
you
it were
know,
I was getting your doom texts, and it sounded like they just weren't playing well.
That's it, Matt. I think what I would summarize what I saw from Chelsea is like current form Manchester City, or maybe Manchester City when Pep first got there. You know, just a team that you see that has the possession, but they don't have any sort of aggression, physicality, the
Unless
oomph,
Sergio's on the
basically.
pitch. Yep.
Yes, they basically just went through the motions, and I think Ipswich was more than ready for that. Kieran McKenna has had previous victories over Enzo Maresca in the championship last season, so he definitely has his number
Oh,
two.
that's right.
Yeah, but yeah, this was a great performance from Ipswich. Liam Delap and Omari Hutchinson were unplayable. They were the two best players on the pitch on Monday.
Oh, well, I mean, dude, looking at the statistics, like, you guys still had this almost basically the same XG,
Yeah.
like, but you outshot them shots total, but tar on target, they outpaced you by one. Your
Yeah.
possession was just, I mean, I don't know, like,
What
it.
happened? Yeah, Palmer hit the post twice. Nkunku missed a wide open goal. But I want to talk about the penalty, Matt.
Please explain this to me.
That penalty hurt my heart, dude. So basically, Liam Delap was on a breakaway, and
This is
he
the
was
one you
one
said
on
shouldn't be a penalty, right?
should not be a penalty. He was one on one with Jorgensen, and it's basically one of those where he tries to dink it past the keeper so he can run in, and he was tripped and was called a penalty. Going full speed and from the angle that the game was going at live action, it looked like a penalty. And then they show the other side of the field in both live action and in slow-mo, and there was no contact, Matt. There was Liam
So,
Delap had planted his right foot, and as it was getting raised, Jorgensen's I guess foot may have collided with the back of his heel, maybe, but even then it didn't look like there was contact. But it was still given because there wasn't enough to overturn it. And Chelsea just didn't have any sort of will after that. And it kind of just let them down, which is sort of annoying because you obviously you don't want to have bad refereeing, but like you guys also showed nothing to show that you deserve to even win that game or deserve points from that game. So although the call was bad, Chelsea were still bad regardless.
I watched a little bit of social media after this game, and the Ipswich fans were just excited that they won. But you guys are getting what Arsenal got during that season where they got back into Europe under the basically the all or
All or
nothing
nothing.
season, where the Arsenal hate returned. The Chelsea hate has officially returned. And we'll talk in my stoppage time question about another team entering a new phase. But I like that you guys are hated again, but I also find it sad that you guys have really done nothing to be hated and
Yeah, so
laughed at and scorned.
I've seen fans like say like Chelsea tried this not in a title race gimmick. Now they're really not in a title race. Like, are you guys stupid or something? Like Enzo Maresca has said, we're not in a title race. Just because we're in second place with 19 games left, that doesn't mean you're in a title race. You know, it's I don't know, but
You
this
could have saw what happened to us that first season. We were in a tile race, and you. But here's the thing: you guys are going to be called bottle jobs.
how?
I just well, I
Enlighten me.
No, you, I'm just saying it's not valid, but you guys are going to be called it.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah. If we were in first place at any point in the season, I would tend to agree with that statement. But I haven't even tasted first place yet, Matt. So I'd love to be
Nobody
called a bottle
has.
job. I want to be called a bottle job just to know that we took first place at some point in the season, you know?
But that term, because everyone loves saying it, because I think in the British accent, it just feels good on the mouth. In
Do
the
you think if
American accent, there's words that just feel good to say.
Liverpool bottle the sea lose the bottle the league, you think this is the biggest quote unquote bottle job the league has ever seen? Off the top of your dome?
No, there's one that Manchester United had the first time City won a title under the their new ownership that
With
really just
Mancini
seemed
United.
kind of because they basically had a 15-point lead or something. I don't know the numbers on it, but it was pretty rough. And then they allowed City to creep back. So it was that final day with the Aguero goal.
Yeah.
That to me is a bigger, I hate the term, but bottle job simply because of the fact to me it was signifying a new era in the game that they could have prevented. And then they came back, got Van Persie and won it the next year. But the damage was already done. I think it was a more impactful bottle job because it, just like you guys winning, it changed the dynamics of the game and forced teams that didn't spend a lot to try and force themselves to spend a lot more. It accelerated the arms race. It was a bottle job that had a lot of ramifications. When it was just Arsenal versus Liverpool or Man City United, the league was different. Then it became Chelsea, Arsenal, and Man United. Then it became Manchester City, and now Man United's in a spot where they have a lot of debt, and things are going not going no nothing's going wrong and nothing's going right.
Exactly.
But let's jump in the Uranium. I think we covered Chelsea, right? Chelsea Ipswich.
Just one last thing. Liam Delap is a player who City have a buyback clause on. I feel like if I am Manchester City and I'm looking for a different option to Haaland off my bench, or even to play pair up with Haaland in some way, I know you don't want necessarily 2 6-foot-5 Megatrons on your team in a starting 11, but just to show something different off the bench, I think is something that City could really use. Because if they don't utilize that buyback clause, Arsenal, Chelsea, those guys are going to be in for this type of player. He's really good. So credit to Ipswich. Into the next game here, guys. We have Villa at home drawing Brighton 2-2. Matt, from the scoreline, it looks like in an entertaining game. Was that what you've seen as well from what you've seen?
It looked like a game of two teams that I don't think hate each other, but seemed like they did. I don't know how to
Okay.
describe it. Like, it's just there was animosity on the pitch.
Yeah. Well, I think we said it last week. It feels like these teams play really often against each
Yeah.
other. Maybe there is just something brewing at this point.
Well, because like I Brighton needs rivals. Like their biggest rival is Crystal Palace. Like if they
Yeah.
can add Aston Villa to like their rogues gallery of teams, I think that'd be a good pickup for them. Like they're trying, as long as they have Emery to make Arsenal a big rival, is
I saw
only
this.
Unai and Emery are there.
Yeah. I was kind of scoreboard watching this game, obviously, while Chelsea was playing. I did see Villa came back from 1-0 down to make it 2-1. What sort of happened in the second half from what you saw of why they
I
plundered it
well, so
anyway?
everything I saw, I was watching a train wreck on the other channel. What I got was what was going on at halftime on this game. It just seemed like a chippy game. Five yellow cards throughout the game. No reds, but it just seemed like something was brewing under the surface. It just seemed like it was Aston Villa's to win, and they couldn't pull the trigger.
Morgan Rodgers, just a great player for Villa. Again, somebody they bought in the January window, and he is worth everything that they have bought so far. I think he is already a $60 million player. His stock will only go up the more he plays in this Villa side. So credit to both sides in this one. Any final thoughts before we move on, Matt?
No, you ready to move on to Man U? United.
Into the field of dreams, we have Manchester United at home losing to Newcastle 2-0. Now the field of nightmares continues. Joshua Xerxes had to get subbed off after the
The kid
second
looked
goal
like he
went
was
in,
going to
and he
cry.
proceeded
That putting him in
after.
the midfield just did not seem like a good plan from the second we saw what was going on.
After the second goal was conceded, Joshua Xerxes was subbed off the field, and then he proceeded to sprint down to the tunnel before the half was even over. Not a good look right now going on to Manchester United. What were your thoughts on this game, man?
So I knew that Man United didn't have a lot of offense in this game because I sat and I watched this whole thing. I was literally just I had a my job at work that day, so I was able to pay attention more to this game than I am many games because of the day. I didn't know they had zero shots on target.
Yeah, that's the one thing that sticks out to me too. The lack of
Oh, can
attack
your
with
stuff just
grid.
make a noise on there for you? Oh, I think you got it. Perfect. Sorry, I
Sorry,
mean to
guys.
interrupt, but it just didn't go away.
My bad, guys. Hopefully, it didn't sound too bad.
Well, we don't deafen anyone.
Yeah, I just thought Newcastle were too clinical, and it felt like everything United tried to do, it just wouldn't work. And nothing. Again, we kind of expected this since Amorim sort of told everybody this is going to get worse before it gets better, and it's basically what's happening. I don't really have anything great to say for United. I would say Newcastle outplayed them, but it doesn't seem like it
It's
was a
not saying a
surprise.
lot, but
Yeah.
it was just a clinical domination. Just they had these things where, like, they give the ball to Harry Maguire, and then he would try to dribble down the pitch, and then they would just get got, and it would just be a counterattack, and then everyone would be scrambling, and Harry can't move. I
Do
was like,
you was Xerxes
I think
just
I saw
subbed
that
off?
twice.
Was Xerxes just subbed off because they were down 2-0 and he wanted to change something?
I think it was because the midfield that was up against them was absolutely dominating them. Let me look at the lineups because they started out with
Casemiro and Eriksen.
Casemiro, Mazraoui, Eriksen, and Dalot.
Well, Dalot and Mazraoui are the white are the wing backs. So
Yeah.
it was Eriksen, Casemiro, and probably basically as the two
Xerxes
men
was
in the middle.
playing mid pitch and he just could not compete with Tonali, Guimaraes, and Joel Ellington. They were just.
Joelinton, yeah.
Joe Linton, sorry, they were just, don't know how to describe it, man. It was like watching, in high school sports, it was like watching, a team that had like an offensive line that was so good they could play varsity, but because they had so many people, they were playing JV against a real JV team, if that
Yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah,
And
I think
Man United just got overwhelmed in the center of the midfield and was just getting just punched in the head.
do you think United should invest in January or sort of just stack bread, keep cutting costs for their staff, and wait till the summer?
You want to jump into my stoppage time questions? Because they were all
Let's do
about Manchester United.
it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
I don't think they should spend. I think they should have a cohesive plan, go into the summer, not try to overpay for their targets. Go in with a systematic plan. Is Amorim going to go like Liverpool did with attack or Arsenal like what they did with defense? Or you guys like where you just kind of go at everything at all at once? Are you going to shoot your wad? So my first question is, everything seems to be going against Manchester United right now. They're failing health inspections. There's rats in the building. They're getting spanked. Do you think Manchester United needs to hire a PR firm like right now on some of the money they're saving to get this image back? Because I see a stadium that's flooded and infested with rodents, a team that can't beat Newcastle, which they could have. Like any team could, like Newcastle would have given Arsenal trouble, but I think Arsenal would have won. I think Chelsea would have been given trouble, but I think Chelsea could have won. Liverpool, Tottenham might even be able to win this game. A Crystal Palace could have won. Brentford could have won. This was
I'm
not
not the
unstoppable Newcastle. And the refs seemed to me to bail Manchester United out of trouble because they didn't want this to become a just an ass kicking, which is probably going to be on Saturday. My question really is like, what can Manchester United do short of bringing in players to really stop this bleeding on every front?
yeah. To start, I completely agree with you. This season is already chalked for you guys. Avoid relegation and go into next season. It is not worth investing money right now in the January window. It's not going to
So you
save
set me
anything.
up for my next question, actually. All right, so I'm going to let you finish what you set me up.
I gotcha. But yeah, I don't think hiring anybody, a PR team, it's already on show
Except an
and
exterminator, they have to hire an exterminator.
very true.
So, I mean, they have
You
to.
need those.
You can't have be failing health inspections when you serve
You don't
thousands
want
of people.
Joelinton ripping a shot from 40 yards out and hitting a rat on the way in the goal. No.
You could be losing, but you don't want to be known as a team that's infested with rats.
I'm at the point, Matt, where I don't even think like a summer change is going to change anything. I don't think it's going to, I think it's more of like a, I think they are in the same state as Barcelona at this point. Barcelona, who can't even register Dani Olmo, who's going to be a free agent in January, but they still have to pay him all of the fees to Leipzig and pay everything that they owe him, but they can't register or play him. I think United's going to be in a similar boat, not in terms of that, but more so with the staff, the stadium. It's not going to change. And I don't think they're going to invest as much as people are willing to realize. And I have a Manchester United friend, just before we get to your second question. We were kind of reminiscing and we're like, you remember when the Qataris were going to buy United? And he was like, because he was saying he wanted to, that Qatar guy was saying he wanted a new stadium. He wanted to flood liquidate already and flood cash into United and get it going again. And the Glazers took an alternate route to keep their position, their percentage of the club, and it's still the detriment of this football team, unfortunately.
So my next question is I've seen a couple of Manchester United fans saying that they just want to go down and come right back up like Leicester did and some other teams. Have you seen those guys?
Yeah, I've heard that. Even
Do
my Manchester United friend doesn't even think it's that bad of an idea. I think they don't know, they understand the cost of going down.
So you may get a balloon payment, but the balloon payment is not as big as your TV rights. Your TV rights in the championship are abysmal. Even though I think they are picked up by ESPN Plus, it's like each team gets like 100 million or something. And in the league, I think you get like 250 million. Completely losing on any European revenue.
Not even
Unless
that,
you
Matt.
win every
You're
cup again.
you have to sell about 50% of your club, basically, in terms of players, and you're which maybe is the right thing for Manchester United to get a lot of these guys out, just to sort of rebuild truly, get the academy kids to play. But the thing is are you going to keep a guy like Kobbie Mainoo, who is like the golden child of Manchester United? I don't think so. He's going to want to leave if we go down,
No,
even though he
Kobe's
may
gonna
be
want
a
to play
United
European
player.
football.
Exactly.
Hey,
So.
Arsenal, we can use a young Kobbie Mainoo.
Just a
But
little dash in there real
do you
quick.
think that this is just trying to act tough for like the cameras? Like it reminds me of like a kid who knows he's gonna have to go see the principal for something he did in class. And everyone in the class knows it's coming in elementary school, and he's trying to talk tough, like, oh man, I'll go to detention. It'll be fun, yo. And it's like, I think it's that kind of thing where they, because like, here's the thing. Chelsea play Crystal Palace on Saturday. If Chelsea loses to Crystal Palace, and for your sake, I hope they don't, but for this narrative, they would get one step closer because I don't think there's any way. Like, I might go bet $1 on Liverpool to lose so I can get a windfall if Manchester United pulls off some sort of weird masterclass.
Which they've been prone to do every now and then, which
I
is
mean, I think the
possible.
odds are like if I bet $1, I get 1,000 or something.
Well, and like, to that point, like, just to answer your question, it's just unfortunately full-time Twitter or social media has a sort of reactionary response where they're like, oh man, we're in 14th place. We're in a relegation battle. Brother, you
It's
guys
not
are
really a
like 10.
relegation battle, but when they drop down, I think they'd be two spots above relegation. I don't think they're going to get sucked into it.
But like you got to,
Actually,
but that's the thing is like there's still a points differential even to that relegation zone, and sort of like how you said with Chelsea. Hey, if Palace beat Chelsea, Chelsea have right now a 7-point gap, I think, in fourth. If if this means United get relegated as a Chelsea fan, hey brother, I'll sacrifice a loss here,
Well, it's like Arsenal play them in the FA Cup the first round the Premier League's in. And after watching this game, I'm just like, man, even this just depleted Arsenal is going to go in there and get a 2-0 win. I just have that feeling unless Emery can change something. But when you have players storming off and going in the tunnel that aren't hurt, it just like I don't know what Emery's trying to do here. I think he needs to like pick his five guys and say, hey, you guys are going to stick with me. I'm going to protect you. Let's go do this. Let's play the football we need to do in your roles. I'm going to put everyone else around you and let's get you as good as you can so we can start getting these pieces out and getting pieces in that can help you next season.
But I don't even think the problem is Amorim. I think this is just sort of the egos of players nowadays. I understand Xerxes may feel some way for being subbed off before halftime, but like you as a player, I know you may think you can make a difference in a game, but you just have to suck it up, dude, and just sit on the fucking bench. Like, I don't like this whole I'm gonna go to the locker room and cry. Bro, show your emotions on the bench. If you feel a way, feel a way, but don't leave your team in the middle of their game. You just don't do that. And Amarim, unfortunately, is getting that. I called this. He was gonna get the Graham Potter treatment, and it's already starting. And he's been in 5 games, and he's had like 4 training sessions with this team, but he's getting the Potter treatment, and it's already happening. It's unfortunate for him. Matt, are you ready to move on?
But before we move off Manchester United, there's a lot of drama swirled around this team. And I want to say to Newcastle, the Isak goal, the Joe Elliott goal is less impressive to me. But man,
Burlington.
it just, when Newcastle had about 15 minutes of amazing football in this game, and that's all they needed to just destroy Manchester United and cripple them.
Newcastle, credits to them. Into the final game of our review here, 2 days after the Monday game, as of today, January 1st. Happy New Year to our followers and listeners. We have Brentford at home losing the London Derby 3-1 to Arsenal. Matt, what were your thoughts on this game?
I was incredibly nervous even to halftime because Rebecca Lowe on the British American feed of this game made it sound again like this is do or die time. And I know it's like every game if you're in a title race counts, but it's just like Brentford did them in this time at their home ground and blah, blah, blah. Like for Brentford being back, Arsenal has a good record, but not the best record. And it's just like, so. I was going to my mom's house to celebrate her birthday, which is this week, just because we had the day off, and it was just we normally celebrate this time because it's the best time to celebrate it. And I was rushing around. For some reason, I thought the game started at 9:30 because my work computer keeps telling me California times when we're in a
Unfortunate.
different or mid time. I don't know. Keeps telling me a different time zone. So for some reason, I didn't realize it was at 10:30, and this made me incredibly nervous as I'm trying to get to the game. I wanted to watch it with my dad, and just the commentary and everything kind of building up and Saka being gone and everything just made me so nervous. And I missed the best part of this game. So me and my dad went to go get my mom lunch. We went to go pick up some Chinese food. We get to the restaurant. The game's restarted. I check the scores, it's still 1-1. Beautiful goal by Jesus, by the way, against play. Really good goal. And we drive home. As we bring the food into the house, I see it's 3-1. I went back and watched the goals, but just like my mom rewatching the Chelsea Ipswich game, it just didn't have the same impact because I
You're
missed the
doing
most
a lot
important part of the game.
Oh, it's never fun when that happens.
No,
You
I was literally missed. I missed, didn't, wasn't able to watch like 20 minutes of this game, and everything important happened in those 20 minutes.
know, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Only thing that I saw from this game, because I was at my own little family event today, was the Jesus goal, but I saw that it came off of a very worrisome blunder from Raya where he saved it, but it like went through his hands and almost went in the net, barely keeps it out, and then you guys built possession all the way to
Dude,
the front.
I thought they were going to stop that play and call that a goal.
It was close, man. It
Oh,
was
dude, it
close.
was like, I gotta say though, I know I'm a big Aaron, I've been in on this podcast, a giant Aaron Ramsdale supporter, and I really hope he stays up with Southampton. I don't want the man to get 4 relegations, but freaking hell, man, David Raya, what a keeper.
He is. And if that goal goes in, man, although it would have been his mistake, I don't know if you guys come back from 2-0 down against a Thomas Frank side so organized. But the fact that you guys not only equalized shortly after, you equalized a minute after that Raya mistake. So just shows the resilience that Arsenal has. It's good to see Mourinho get on the score sheet as well. Guy that's sort of been in and out of the lineup, having leggish leg leg leg
No, it's shoulder, I believe. He was
shoulder.
the guy who
Shoulder
cracked his
issues.
shoulder in
Gotcha.
training. But
So
I
it's cool
also
to see
think
him.
Michael Arteta loves to have players get bedded in a preseason, and Mourinho didn't get any preseason because of the negotiations to get him in.
Right.
And then he immediately got hurt. So I think he may be kind of babying him a little bit until we can get to the next half of the season. Because he's not in a Brit he hasn't had a season in the British Premier League, and I don't think he wants him to get knocked out of the season in this winter time frame.
Gotcha.
When him and Calafiori are the two players that have never played a full Premier League season in this squad.
especially in this time of the year. I
Well,
think
take that
it's just
back.
been.
There's a Nwari and Miles Lewis-Skelly, but they played in the weather, just not in a competitive environment. They are familiar more with the team because they came from London Colney. But to make my statement factual, yeah, of the players that are playing off the bench, there's four that haven't done a full season with the team. There are other players on the bench, but I've not seen them play. They
Gotcha.
seem like they're holding spots.
It was cool to see Nwanari get the much deserved start. Even though it wasn't the best performance, I think he did just fine for a 17-year-old
He
in a
set up
friendly.
the final goal with the in-swinger for
Oh, he
Martinelli.
did. Yeah,
Yeah.
I didn't see that goal, so.
I don't think he'll get an assist because it touched somebody else before Martinelli got it in the goal. And I
Gotcha.
hate the stupid pre-assist stat,
Well,
but
he was subbed off after that goal was conceded. Okay, gotcha. Cool. Credit to
Three-one
Big.
up, he gets sent off, and he didn't go into the thing crying because he did contribute to the win of the game.
Wait, did he have a yellow card? Is that what he said?
Well, no, he didn't just like cry like Xerxes or
Oh,
Faust. He went and took his spot on the
I
chair.
gotcha. Credit to Arsenal. Big win. Hopefully they are creeping their way into this title race if Liverpool wants to give them some room.
I know
Man.
there's no way they're gonna sell Mbeumo, but him and Wissa are just players I want. They're Trossard style players that if you could pick one of them up in this window, that is a win. But I know
Yeah.
that Brentford's not going to sell them because they're fighting for a European spot in either European Conference or Europa League.
Brentford, this is just one of those wins you sort of bliss off and move on to. Are you ready to jump into the predictions, sir?
Yep, I'm getting my stats up here. Let me get back to it. Okay, so we start off Saturday, January 4th. I cannot believe we're already in 2025, man.
Happy New Year, people.
Happy New Year. Newcastle travel to North London to face Tottenham Hotspur.
Big game here. Vegas has no idea who the favorite is in this game, so it goes to show how teeter-totter both of these teams have been.
It's
I'm gonna sort
5:30 a.m. for us too.
of I'm gonna go with a 3-3 draw.
That's actually a very good one. I was going 2-2, so we're not that far off. I think yours is more exciting than mine.
That's what I'm hoping for, is just a cracker.
Okay, next up, 8 a.m. time frames. We got five Saturday 8 a.m. games. First one up is Everton at Bournemouth. The track Stone Cold Sean Dyche comes to the Cherry Prince's Playhouse, traveling down from frozen, windswept Everton. Hopefully wearing the tracksuit, but he takes the t-shirt off, smacks two Carlstons together. And hopefully the grass doesn't break and he's able to pour them down his throat. Because I haven't seen canned beer in England. I don't know if that's a thing.
It's definitely not a thing. They
I
just
hope
come
he
in
doesn't
clutch.
like instant Stone Cold smash them. I hope he tings the little heads together and pours them back.
This might be my favorite manager matchup of the season after the way you just explained that. But
And
as
the Cherry
usual,
Prince is like in a demure little outfit on his little throne.
got a little crown on his head. Yeah, I'm with it, man. Oh,
Cherries everywhere.
he's like the William Regal of the Premier
Oh
League.
yeah, there we go.
There you go, man. See, I don't watch anymore, but I still got the WWE ball knowledge in there, man.
Hey man, I was gonna say I'm gonna watch this Monday. I've got Netflix again, and the new Raw looks interesting. I'm gonna give it a shot.
You have to let me know about it, man.
Seth Rollins versus CM Punk. CM Punk is my Taylor Swift, guys. He can do no wrong in my heart.
Who do you have in this game?
In this game, I think the Cherries are going to win it 1-0. I think that Sean Dyche is going to set up, block him in, do the same thing he's done against Arsenal, Chelsea, and Forest. But I think Oriola's got a little bit of something that's going to get them through. Hey,
Yeah,
just
I'm
to
gonna
let you know,
agree with
man,
you.
if you want to finish this up, we got 10 minutes left on the recording.
Oh yeah, we'll be fine. I'm gonna go with a 1-0 win here. What's the next game for us, man?
Leicester City at Aston Villa.
Ugh. Unfortunately, no rude awakening here. Villa have to get back on the winning track, especially after the draw with Brighton and the performances last week as well. I'm gonna go with a 3-0 Villa win, and it's comfortable.
Me too. I agree with you on that. I think I had 4-1, but I'm going to stick with you. Next up, we have Chelsea versus Crystal Palace. I've already alluded to this game. A lot of ramifications here for the narrative.
Yeah.
For your side and Manchester United and Crystal Palace.
Yeah, this is Palace has started to perform pretty well in the league over the last couple weeks. Chelsea have not, to be
Well,
frank.
it's two losses and a draw for your last three, right? And but
Last three,
wins before that, yeah.
wait, yeah, two losses. Yep. And
Yeah,
then
Fulham, Ipswich, and then you drew against Everton.
Everton. Yep. We did drop points to Palace earlier in the season. I think that is something to take note of that Enzo will hopefully instill in this team to get some confidence going. I'm going to go with a 2-0 Chelsea win. I think we finally get back on the winning streak.
So I'm gonna go for a 2-2 draw.
Fair enough.
It won't be enough to it'll keep United up, but it'll be goal difference.
It'll be a little bit scary for him.
Yeah. All right, next up we have Brentford, the bees of Thomas Frank, licking their wounds, traveling to the other southern coast team to face Southampton.
I'm thinking about this one, man. Yeah,
So I
there's
think
nothing
the
to make
bees
about
are
them.
gonna do their thing, where they treat the opening as a set piece, and I think they're gonna go and get two goals and win this 2-0.
I was gonna say the exact same thing, my friend. 2-0 to the bees.
All right, so this team just got bludgeoned by Liverpool last week. We have West Ham traveling to a returning confidence, Manchester City. I think City's going to get back on winning ways here with a
You think
2-0 win again.
they continue that winning streak? Man, this is tough because West Ham do have a good performance in them, and I feel like they've started to, creep their way into some good performances too. Yeah, I'm gonna go City. I'm gonna go with a 1-0 City win. I don't know, man. I don't like either of these teams right now, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know what to pick. I just kind of have this feeling that Pep's going to build something up.
Eventually, right?
Yeah.
Eventually, City will just be back to normal. That's just the
Yeah.
thought.
Dude, the Terminator's not dead. I think they're going to finish if you if my heart of hearts and my gut here, I think they finish third or fourth.
Gotcha. Good to hear. We'll have to talk about that another time.
All right. And next up we have Arsenal. This is a Saturday game at 10:30 a.m. Arsenal with short turnaround travel down to face Brighton at the Amex after facing the Bees. Away.
Yes, and Arsenal have dropped points to Brighton earlier in the season, so this is something Arteta will want to instill some confidence into his side on. And I think you guys do pull a win here. I'm going 3-1 to Arsenal.
I think that the this is one of the games where we had the infamous red card. I think that he's nipped that in the bud or dealt with whatever the referees were trying to like
Throw at
in
him.
Arsenal conspiracy land. There are people that are saying that a deal's been struck to like knock this shit off. I also think Arsenal's going to win, but I think it's going to be a tight, nervy 1-0 win.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
All right, now we move into the Sunday, January 5th games. This one's at 7 a.m. We got Ipswich Town, the Tractor Boys, facing Fulham at Fulham's home ground.
This is going to be a fun game. Two teams who just beat the dog piss out of Chelsea in the last week. So I hope none of these teams succeed personally, but I am going to go with a Fulham 1-0 win. I think it's close.
I'm going for a 1-1 draw.
Fair enough.
All right. Now, the Pierre de Resistance, the penultimate game of the weekend. 9:30 a.m. Manchester United, bloody, covered in rats, carcass, stinking of not being able to afford showers, travel to Anfield, their bitter rival, Liverpool, who are on a high. Both tables are in their first place. They just dismantled a team that I think has performed better than Manchester United 5-0 last weekend. Now they face a United that just got their dog walked on by a decent team. I think this is going to be a bloodbath, man. I'm thinking 5-0.
I was going to say 6-0. And maybe, Arne Slot has a little bit of sympathy for these new managers. Maybe he'll like let them be like, hey, after the second goal, let's tone it down. But then Salah's like, nah, son, where's my crown at? And then just suns him.
I don't think he has sympathy because just like Jurgen Klopp, he understands to a certain extent the mental
Meaning.
framework of the club. And this is like if
This is a rivalry
let
game.
me ask you this, if the roles were reversed and this was Arsenal Tottenham, do you think any Arsenal manager would let Tottenham get off if they had the firepower that Liverpool does?
You
I
don't
don't think they do.
play around with rivalries,
No.
and you
You nip
unfortunately
this in the
don't
bud.
trust
You
each other.
make this 3-0 before halftime.
I agree.
You go in there and you punch the crap out of them.
Is there any Monday games?
No, yes, there is. Sorry, there is one Monday game, January 6th. Oh, you're gonna be able to watch this one, I'm guessing. I guess
Let's
I'll have
see.
to watch this one.
Oh yeah,
You're
sorry
back on
guys,
the
I start my
saddle,
new
right?
job on Monday.
Yeah, you're back in the salt mines like me. All right, so Nottingham Forest travel to Wolves. A team on
Oh.
the, two teams on the up, baby. I'm looking forward to this. 1 p.m. Phoenix time for all our Phoenix guys out there. I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I'm hoping for like bare knuckles. I'm kind of hoping for 3-2, whoever wins.
There you go. I wish I could watch this game, guys. I will be starting my new job on January 6th. Man, this is such a fun game for a Monday. What the hell is this?
No.
They don't do this often. I'm gonna go
No,
with.
I'm excited. I didn't know this was Monday. I thought this was Sunday.
I think Forrest find a way, but I think it's 2-1 to Forrest. I think it's really close. I think Strand Larson and Cunha make it really interesting for Wolves, but that Forrest side's too much right now.
I'm excited to see the transfer rumors start popping off on Monday.
Yeah, man.
Or
Already, dude.
tomorrow. Sorry,
They've already
Thursday. They're
started.
going to pick up tomorrow, January 2nd.
Well, they've already picked up today with Trent Alexander-Arnold being linked with Real Madrid with the Ornstein dagger.
I
We will
meant like
talk about
inner
that.
for anything that'll affect our teams. Because like
Okay.
they're gonna pick them up on a free in July. I know it's tasty, but it's not gonna affect the title race.
I gotcha. What we'll do, guys,
Unless Trent goes full scorched earth and like his teammates like disown him and just you know what I mean? Unless it's something like that where like one guy sticks up for him, like in the American History X.
Yep. Guys, we are gonna discuss more transfers coming up here in the next week. We will see you guys most likely this weekend. We'll have to
Yep,
talk
I
about
was
that. I
going
should
to
be.
talk to you about that offline.
Yep, we'll discuss that on here, guys. We will see you guys on the weekend. And Matt, close us out, my friend.
All right, live long, watch some football, lads.